All right, let's open our Bibles. I want us to read a particular portion of the scriptures to start today. Acts chapter 20, I'm going to read the one we have been reading again later, but let me just start with this, and you will see the reason why I'm reading this in a moment, because we are talking about total faith, and I need to explain a particular principle. We are still on the issue of total faith for finances, and that is that has taken us a number of days now, but we are not even done with it yet. I hope we can finish that today. Now, Paul here, the book of Acts chapter 20, if you read from verse 17, that just will give you a background to it. From Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know from the first day that I set foot in Asia, how I was with you the whole time, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials, which came upon me through the plot of the Jews." Now, please notice verse 20. "So you know how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly and from house to house." Now, to save time, let's just continue down to verse 25, or jump down to verse 25. He said, "And now behold, I know that all of you among whom I went about preaching the kingdom will no longer see my face. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent," he said, "of the blood of all men." Now, why am I innocent? Now, that's what I want to read. That's the reason why I'm reading this. Why did Paul say he was innocent? He said in verse 27, "For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose or the whole counsel of God." He said, "Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood." Now, let me stop here because of time. Now, why did I read this? Like I said, it's specifically because of verse 27. He said, "I did not shrink from declaring the whole purpose or the whole counsel of God to you." Now, the reason why I brought that issue up is that there are different aspects to the word of God. We have been speaking about total faith, and my emphasis has been, of course, we began from the book of Mark chapter 11. We have been looking at the reason why Jesus spoke casually to a tree. Please, don't forget the main thing we are trying to do. We've been looking at why Jesus spoke casually to a tree, and the tree died. Bear that in mind. Remember, I just want to say it again. Jesus did not come against the tree deliberately. He just spoke casually to the tree. But the power in his words, all right, was so great that the tree died. And I've been emphasizing that many things in our lives, that's how God expects that we'll speak casually to them. It is not everything that requires deliberate praying about. Jesus spoke. He just said to the tree, "Nobody will eat from your fruit again." I said, in the same manner, you can speak to a headache. You can speak to a pain in your joint. You can speak to a pain in your stomach, which peradventure doctors will have decided later is a serious problem. But not even knowing what it is called, you just say, "This stomach, you will not disturb me again." And the thing will die from its roots. And they asked the Lord Jesus, "How did that happen?" And he said, "It is because I was walking by the faith of God." And what is the faith of God? He said, that is that you walk in all the time. And the Amplified says to us, have faith in God continually. We'll be looking at that. Now, we now are looking at the issue of total faith. And what I've been trying to emphasize to us again and again, I keep on reviewing it, is that you cannot have faith in the area you choose and refuse to have faith in another area. I remember once I was asking somebody, "I don't see you at Bible studies again." And in fact, this was many years ago. If it's now, I hardly ask questions like that. You know, there are things, although I still ask if you're very close and dear to me, all right? You are one of our workers and I don't see you. I will wonder. But I asked, and the fellow said to me that the things you are teaching now, I don't need them. Now, I want to tell, no, some people don't have manners anyway, but all right. You know, manners is part of it. There are things you don't say, even if you feel it them, all right? You know, that's why manners are very good in life. Oh. It helps you, protects you from all evil. You won't do a lot of rubbish if you just have manners. So the person said to me that day that the things you are teaching now, I don't need them. Now, for a Christian, that is a very stupid statement. It's a very stupid statement. E.W. Kenyon said, well, one of these big men said, Other hymn was Smith Wigglesworth. He said, if it is when you need faith that you are struggling to get it, you waited too late. And that's what I'm going to explain. You cannot say that this one, I don't need it now. You see a young man, young woman, they are teaching on marriage in church, you close your ears. You know, there's a way the word of God behaves. You don't know when they will say that thing that will change your life. And there's another thing about it. You actually don't know what you need. I don't know whether I get the point. You don't know the real thing that is your problem. You think money is your problem. God said, no, that's not what the problem is. You think your problem is promotion in your career. The Lord says, that's not what the problem is. That is, if you seek the right thing, some of these other things will just be added. And the Holy Spirit knows how he delivers that which you actually require. That is why, as a believer, never say it. I don't need this one now. Because you don't know what it's about. Somebody can come teaching. You go to church and they are teaching on the second coming of Christ. And you say, that's not what I need. I need to make advance in my business. You never can tell. The thing that's preventing you from making advance is going to be discussed because it is occupied with this until I come. That's why I read this book of Acts chapter 20. Paul said, I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. Sometimes people say that if you need healing, listen to messages on healing. It is good to do that. However, what will boost your ability to understand the word of God concerning healing may not be found in those messages. It may be found in the message that discussing financial prosperity. It may be found in the message that discussing faithfulness. It may be found in the message that discussing the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because faith is what? Total. That's what we've been trying to emphasize. We cannot deliberately just focus faith on one thing, but we grab faith in every dimension. That's what I've been trying to emphasize all of these days. That's how faith works. It is total. Faith is something that works in every aspect of your life. And Paul said, there is what is called the total, where is it again? Verse what? 27. He said, there's what is called the whole purpose, using the New American Standard. Which one do you have? Yes. I like the Amplified Bible. He said, I never shrank or kept back or fell short from declaring to you the whole purpose and plan and counsel of God. And that is what we need as believers. You see why I'm talking about this again. Now, we're still talking about total faith for finances, but I want to explain a particular scripture. Before we read go back to Luke chapter 16. I want to advise Christians again. Remember what I said the other day? Don't touch that scripture. What did I say? Don't touch that scripture. What was I talking about? There's a very well-known scripture. Quickly go back to it. The book of Psalms chapter 127. Psalm 127. I want to bring out an issue from there. Please just be patient with me. You might be wondering, what am I doing? But believe me, I know what I'm doing. Even if I don't know what I'm doing, the Holy Spirit knows what I'm doing. Now I want to read from verse 3. It said, behold, now should I read this one first? No, let me make a statement first. All right? Please listen to this statement. I'll make a statement and I'll read this particular verse. Now, when we want to believe God, all right? We're talking about faith for finances. Remember that? Total faith. God has a system. I've been discussing that for some time. The world has a system. The problem we often have as believers is when we want to cut and join and create a hybrid between God's system and the world's system. Like I said last time, when people say, I say something like, the Bible says, don't take any thought for tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. All right? So arguments now come up. Am I supposed to save for retirement? And you go from the Bible from beginning to the end, you don't find anything like that. The only thing Jesus said is, don't be worried about tomorrow. Don't plan for retirement. You now wonder, I say, what are you talking about? What am I? I actually heard a preacher I like a lot. I listen to him a lot. He said, it makes sense to prepare for retirement so that when you can't work again, money will be flowing in. And really, that's a lot of sense, but it's common sense. It's not the word of God. I'm not saying, now look at my point. It's not bad. It's common sense. But why did God not say anything about preparing for about saving up for retirement? Throughout the Bible, he never talked about retirement. The only thing he ever said is that no matter how old you are, you will be full of sap and you'll be fruitful. Retirement is not God's idea. is human idea. Make enough money and start going from Malibu down to Haiti, down to the jungles of Kenya, down to the beaches all over the world, going to Dubai, is not the will of God. What happens is that we buy a world system and then we want to use the word of God to perfect the system of the world. And God said, I don't know what you're talking about. That's why faith sometimes is difficult. You have to get up and learn the system of God. God never expected anybody to retire. Should I pass for retirement? No, God said, make a different plan. Plan never to retire. What's your problem? Why do you want to believe me for what I don't want to do? Say, a time will come in which I will be tired, I will not be able to walk again. Why do you believe for such things? Isn't that faith we are talking about? Why don't you use faith to say that I will never get tired? I always like to give the testimony regarding the papers. And when you see things like this happen, it's nice for you to see. No, number one, let's even start. Before I tell you the one I read in the papers. Very internationally known people. Mary Kay Ash. She started Mary Kay Cosmetics after she had, in quote, retired from the business she was working in, the company she was working for, Stanley Home Products. That was when she birthed Mary Kay Cosmetics. When people were listening to her give speeches all over the place because she was successful, the woman refused to disclose her age. I don't know why. But from calculation, she'll have been in her late 70s and 80s when she was going around speaking English, telling people how to do business. Many of us know of McDonald's. The man started that business also as a retired man. What the world calls retired. That's when he started McDonald's. Those are good testimonies. The last time I read the man I wanted to refer to earlier, of Paul Dutola, he was 91. And the reporters were asking him, and he was saying that this year they will invest in this area, the new line of business he wants to go into at 91. He died at 92 or something. But I like that. He was still investing at 91. Then Christians come to church and hire a joker to teach them how to plan for retirement. And you say you're a child of God. Talking about total faith. The word of God is to be, Paul said, I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel, the whole purpose, and the whole plan of God. The reason why faith is weak is because, okay, take that, like giving money. You give by faith. That's everything is by faith. You give by faith. The reason why people can't give is that they are planning for retirement. And the reason why God cannot stir up faith in their hearts so that they won't worry about about tomorrow is that they have a stronghold in their hearts called retirement. And they think they are wise. And some people now talk about retiring young. They even write a book on how to retire young. Unless you have another thing you're trying to get from the books, you shouldn't read such rubbish. Why should you retire young? Hear ye the word of the Lord. You retire young, you die young. There was a man in the Bible. He retired young. And because he retired young, God said, you are a fool. Jesus said, you fool. Because the man said, now you have amassed enough money, you have done your IPO. You don't blow. Things are good for you now. You are now worth $6 million. Take your ease. I remember the story of the man who ended up being the richest man in the world at the time, Paul Getty. As a young boy, he went out to hustle. His father was a millionaire. But he went out to go and hustle. Did not depend on his father's money. He went to go and hustle. And he was a tough hustler. He was also prospecting for oil and all of that. Then one day, he valued his assets. And he had made a lot of money. So he informed his parents that time that he's about to retire. And he was about 30. At the age of 30, Oboy said he's retiring. Now, why am I telling this story? Of course, his father tried to explain to him that you can't retire like that. He said, what am I working for again? And when I'm talking about a millionaire, he made over a million. The story I'm telling you was before the Second World War. So you can imagine how much money we're dealing with, all right? Of course, he didn't listen to his father. A few years later, he was flat broke. So he returned back to working, and he continued to work and work until one day he saw a magazine, I think Forbes or one of them, and he saw himself on the cover as the richest man in the world. He said he didn't know he was that rich. Now, why am I saying all of these things? I want to emphasize to people that people have even experienced some of these things, all right? And we must not let the world bring up a system. And the problem we have is that many times we learn a worldly system and we keep on struggling all our lives because we want to fit the word of God into it. We birth something in the flesh and we try to perfect it in the spirit. That is what I'm explaining. And it doesn't work. You cannot birth something in the flesh and expect to perfect it in the spirit. I'm talking about this whole counsel of God, following God totally. So when God has a system, we have to learn every aspect of it, not just pick one and expect it to work. That's why faith is hard. That is why faith is hard. If I say this, it would be like I'm digressing again. But let me keep saying it. Look at this medicine thing. If you're following all these, doctors are good people. Amen?
Amen.
A few of them inside here. I can see one sitting here. I'm seeing one preaching here. Doctors are good people. I love them. Even if I don't, my wife loves them. She married one. You get my point. But the area that makes me laugh most, when you want to follow doctors, read your Bible first before you let the doctor talk to you. Take your Bible, read it. When you are finished reading, they say, hey, doc, what did you say? Anything that disagrees with God, say, no, I'm not here. I am not listening. If he says, jog, so you can live long, say, physical exercise only profits a little. I don't care what you want to say. That's what the Bible said. I want to give you a bombshell that will make you laugh. I've been saying it again and again. How many of you have ever heard of good cholesterol? Good cholesterol. You've heard of good cholesterol. All right. Now, for those who don't know, cholesterol is supposed to be bad for your heart. But cholesterol has different types. For those who know medicine and biochemistry, they will have things like LDL. LDL is supposed to be the worst of the lot. Okay? But there are other ones. There's VLDL, then there's HDL, and a few others. But the most important ones are LDL and what they call HDL. HDL is supposed to be good for you. So they say that the Eskimos, they can have high cholesterol levels, but it doesn't hurt their hearts because generally their hearts they tend to have the good cholesterol, high levels of HDL. So if you want to have high levels of HDL, eat a lot of fish, eat a lot of nuts, stuff like that. And then, of course, you avoid some other things. Now, why am I telling the story? Because a few days ago, a major article was published, that was last week, saying that, we are sorry, HDL is actually bad for you. It is good for you, at least the one I'm personally acquainted with, is almost 30 years I've been hearing it. I don't know how long they've been saying it. But when I began to learn, learn pathology, learn medicine and all of that, that I started hearing that thing is about 30 years ago. Then somebody wrote an article last week discovering that after they did the meta-analysis and collected some metadata and forget the English, they found out that it's actually not good for you. I laughed some more, ate more groundnuts, ate whatever I wanted to eat. I didn't believe them one day. They said, milk is bad for you, especially if you're an adult. I said, it's a lie. If God knew it was bad, why did he take them to a land flowing with milk and honey? Okay. Some people can laugh. My only reason why I disagree with that is that the Bible said God took them to a land flowing with milk and honey. How can you take them to a land flowing with milk and poison and honey? They say, if you eat too much milk, voila for your bones at old age, voila for your prostate. They say, what do you do with your prostate? Regularly, after the age of, is it 40 or 50, you go yearly or a few yearly and do what they call a PSA to test. PSA is short for prostate-specific antigen. What does that do? It's supposed to help us identify whether cancer is growing in your prostate. So when we see the levels, we see it is elevated, we now go into your prostate and start probing around. And then when we take a few bits, we look under the microscope, they give to people like me, I'm a pathologist, I'll now check and say, yes, there is cancer of the prostate here. And they start treating. Let's not discuss the treatment. They did this for decades. About 5 years ago, 4 years ago, thereabout, the man who invented the test, he said it is nothing better than the toss of a coin. There has been a colossal waste of public funds on health. Listen, if you like a joke from here, tobacco liquor and back. It does not add one, doesn't add 24 hours to your lifespan. Trust me. I know what I'm talking about. I'm explaining the fact that faith, you have to follow the whole counsel of God. Don't pick it when you like it and drop it when you don't like it. Why, you know, talking about this retirement and stuff, I thought about it. Did God not make a plan for people's future? He did. There are many plans he made. The first plan, of course, in every area is faith. We have to walk by faith. We have to walk by faith. Anything we are doing must be derived from faith. Faith is not gambling. Faith is not fatalism. Faith is not let whatever will happen. No. Faith is that I have discovered the word of God, and from God's word, I have derived actions by which I'm living my life. And heaven is real. When I say heaven is real, I don't mean I'm doing things, keeping money in heaven. When I get there, I will have something to spend. They don't spend money there. Heaven is real means if I need help and there's no human help, I will ask for heavenly help. And I expect it to come through. Heaven is real means that, I may not see anybody here, but I know I'm not alone. Heaven is real means that there are angels walking around. Don't let people keep, you know, all these days of, what do you call it, free WhatsApp, people send all kinds of nonsense here and there. Today, my wife was telling him that, are you sure you're not too skeptical? I said, but I'm right 90% of the times. They come with all kinds of stories. One of the ones that annoys me most is those people that are trying to warn you. Pump your tire so that you don't die in an accident because of our Minister of State for Labor and Employment. Is it wrong to pump your tire? No. It's good to pump your tire properly. How to pump your tire, how to gauge it, how to wear seatbelt, it is good. Then another one, they said, tell your children, I saw that one today. One man wanted to kidnap a little girl. I told the girl that your mother said she pick you up and that she's not available. And the small girl said, password. The mother had told the girl that if I ever have to send anybody to meet you, I will tell the person the password. And they had a secret code. So the little girl said, password. And the man looked, password. And he ran away. Another post, teach your children password. If you're on WhatsApp, you will get at least 50 safety tips in a month. Which if you try to execute, you will do nothing else. I hardly, now this I'm talking about heaven. People hardly remember to tell you, your children have angels. They make it look as if their lives are accidents. No, they are not. So when I'm blessing my children, I remind them that they have angels. This morning, my son came to the room, knocked. I'm going. He had to go to school very early in the morning. So I told him, I just mumbled to my wife, bless him now, because I was still half asleep. So I told my wife, bless him. So she called, Akinu, come back. So he came in. And he understood. So he bowed his head. And his mother put a hand on him and told him like 5 or 10 sentences. It will be well with you. God will protect you. And told him things like that. And the guy said, amen, amen, amen. People don't remember to tell you those things. They start making it look as if your children's lives are accidents. Evil can happen at any time. It's a lie. The Bible says clearly, Jesus told me clearly, that they have angels that are watching over them. So if I don't tell my daughter password and tell my son password and you want to kidnap him, your head will become password. If you ever read this book, Frank Peretti, Piercing the Darkness and This Present Darkness. I like what one angel said to another angel. He said, sorry, we had to kill her. She was proving too difficult. I said, oh, I love these angels. The person wanted to kill somebody they were protecting. They tried to fend her off. She didn't agree, so they broke her neck. Say, we are sorry. So they reported to the senior angel. That girl was troublesome. So we had to kill her. I said, I love these angels. These are realities. Heaven is real. That's when we say heaven is real. That's what we mean. We don't mean that, don't worry, blow yourself up. There are 70 virgins waiting for you and an unlimited amount of alcohol. That is not our own idea of heaven. What we mean is that we are walking here, as I'm standing here, I am not alone. I like the days of William Marion Braham. He saw a man one day say, wow, you look so much like the angel that stands beside me when I preach. Angels are real. That's what we mean by heaven is real. That's what we mean. It's not a joke. I told a story the other day of David Paulson, who lost a book. And a man who did not talk to him handed him the book back over 100 kilometers away. Manuscripts for a book. I told the story of one of my brothers who angels changed his tire. A friend of mine once came to look for me at night. He missed his way thoroughly. Was in a strange part of Western Nigeria he had never been to. In fact, he's an Igbo man. I'm a Yoruba man, all right? And there's a concept in Nigeria. Once you're not from Lagos, Abuja, Port Harcourt, they assume you are from a village. Why? Because in Eastern Nigeria, there are a lot of villages. But in Western Nigeria, they tend to urbanize. Are you getting my point? So once you're not from Lagos, people just assume that you're an Igbo man. So an Igbo man thinking you're from a village has an idea of village. So he assumes that everybody will know me. When he entered the town, from the edge of the town to the car park, to the motor park, was when he knew he had missed the road. But good enough, my roommate that saw him before he came to look for me, told him the name of one big hospital in town that's owned by his townsman, that if he goes there, he knows we are family friends. So that's how he began his search. Let's make a long story short. Instead of to ask for the owner of the hospital, he asked one lady at the reception, please, I'm looking for, mention my name, my surname, and everything. And the lady said, sorry, I don't know him. So he came out on the road and stood there. At night, he didn't know where to go. They asked one man, please, do you by chance know so-and-so person, so-and-so family? The guy just shook his head, sorry. And you know, buses were passing. You know, you are not in a village. Boom, boom. He didn't know where to go. Then somebody suddenly stood beside him and said, let me hear that name again. His father used to walk so-and-so place. Oh, I know where he stays. And gave him description. Enter this bus. This bus, when he gets to this place, stop. Cross over. When you get here, you will see a restaurant there where people are eating. Enter there, ask for the owner of the restaurant. He's from the same town as that man. She knows his father. At night. And the man just happened to be by the roadside while he was asking somebody else. I said, this boy got direction from angels. And then when we say heaven, that's what I'm trying to emphasize, though. Heaven is not one place we go to when we die. Heaven is a realm that is superimposed upon our physical realm. When you go to sleep at night, I want to let you know, there are literally angels on guard. Like I told you, the major problem God has with us is what? Unbelief. I was talking to my wife today, this morning we were talking, I said, my prayer, God, is just help us to believe. Because when we don't believe, when our lives are ruled by fear, we cripple the hands of God. God doesn't talk anyhow. There's no word he utters that, like me and you, will be playing. And just joking. No. When he walks up to people and says, fear not. You know what it means? If you continue to fear, what I want to do in your life cannot be done. That's the meaning of fear not. It's not, there's no need to be excited. That's not the meaning of fear not. Fear not means what I want to do in your life will not be done if fear remains in your life. When he said, it is I, do not be afraid. He said, if you continue to be afraid, I will have to keep walking. Because I cannot operate in an atmosphere of fear. And what the devil does is to create fear for us, thereby disable, at least it becomes impossible for God to do what he wants to do. That's why he keeps on emphasizing, rejoice, be of good cheer. Because if you go around with a despondent spirit, you will not do well in life. Why? You cripple the hands of God, he can't do anything. What am I emphasizing? Heaven is real. The problem is that oftentimes we hinder the release of heavenly power into our lives. So when we are making financial plans also, don't ever forget, heaven is real. That's where I'm going to. Heaven is real. When Jesus said, you will have treasure in heaven, heaven is real. So when we Christians are making calculations, we put that into perspective. That our lives are not accidents. That it will not happen. Savings or no savings, that at the age of 80, I will not be able to eat. It will not happen. Heaven and earth can pass away, but that one will not happen. That one will not happen. Why? He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never be forsaken. That's the reality of heaven. That's what we're talking about. But what the world tries to do is to remove our faith from that level and bring it down to how much investment do you have? Remove our faith from that level and bring it to how much have you bought stock? Have you bought land? Have you built a house for your children? I have found that almost every child I know rejects the house the father left for him. Think about it. Think. They don't stay there. They give it to a tenant that has not built his own. Because he grew up with that level of house. Do you get my point? Their minds can't, like, I live in this. This was what my father lived in 40 years ago. I can dash houses to my children. But maybe because I have surplus. But build for them so that when they are old, this will be their house. If I say this to make you laugh, I almost think it's a curse. Who must be cursing them that they won't be able to build? I have seen houses all over Enugu here. Because I know many people. Fathers built massive things. Independence layout here, GRA here. The children are not even coming to Nigeria. You're talking about the house. They're not even coming. The house is not a problem. I got to know some of this because I have friends who are into estate business. So you see them breaking houses to pieces. This is a big, massive house the man built. They are trying to, you know, he's so big they can't rent it out. So my friends are cutting them to sizable, small, you know, rentable spaces. See a big house, they remodel it, turn it to 4 flats. Where are the children? Some are in America. Some are in London. Some are somewhere in Europe there. Some are in Lagos. Some are in Port Harcourt. They're in every part of the world but here. Some women found dead in that old house. House built 40 years ago. What was my father thinking? Okay, that was his time. Right now, no. The bathroom is too small for a jacuzzi. You know, they can't. You're getting the point I'm making. So some of those things, they look. The world wants to make, they make you look as if, yes, you've made good plans for your children. Go and read the Bible very well. When Jacob and Esau were fighting, Jacob was looking for one thing. He knew that thing had substance. That thing defended him everywhere he went. That thing, when he got hold of it, he called it the inheritance. It made him rich. He was rich before he came back home. Jacob did not get wealthy because of what his father left for him. He had made money, in quotes now, when his father was still alive. Why? There is an inheritance. Please, I'm trying to bring out a particular issue here. That when we want to operate faith, it's a total thing. Every aspect of the word of God speaks. When we're making plans, it's real. And I'm trying to emphasize all that. Let's be careful that the word does not dilute our ability to enjoy divine provisions. God makes, this thing is total, it's total. By the time you start making up your mind, you start pursuing hard how to prepare for retirement. Those things are prophetic. You're prophesying, I will be tired. You're prophesying, I will lose the ability to work. You are prophesying that one day things are going to be rough. I have to sit down and hope the economy does not tank. I have to sit down and hope that the stock market does not crash. I have to sit down and hope the government does not change its policies while I sit down and they are handing me money. Like a charity case. These are prophetic words. They are prophetic words. If you believe the word of God, you think differently. There's a basic scripture, Psalm 92, that no matter how old you are, you'll be full of sap and you'll be fruitful. So you start thinking, I'm working for federal government now. When I retire, what will I be doing next? Are you getting my point? So you're already thinking, all right, I'm living here in the next 5 years. 10 years, what am I going to be doing? All right? That's why, as a believer, be careful how your life is structured mentally. What I'm trying to say is this. This one of waiting for somebody to take care of you. Don't reason like that. You're working in federal government, see it as I'm blessing them. If they annoy me, I'll go and bless somebody else. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Have that attitude. When I talk to average civil servants, you just know why people don't have a choice but to be poor in life. They have to be poor. No, you know, poverty is in the mind. It's a spiritual substance. When you talk to an average civil servant, you know poverty is a good friend. The other day I was in my office, I said, if they ask me to be the chief medical director of my hospital, I will not agree unless God sends people to come and tell me, Banky, this is for me. Why? I said, run people like you. I was talking to my staff. I said, people like you work here and I'll be CMD. I'll go mad. Poverty mentality. They don't know anything that is going on. As far as they are concerned, government should just print money and share to them. All these people are talking, they don't know. Oh, God. You now understand? No, listen. Some people are saying, just talking to people. You know why Aliko Dangote is rich and why they are poor. You will just know. This is not about that. You will just know that this guy is going to be poor. There's no, unless he steals. Why? He's what I call a, you know, if it is elementary economics in secondary school, that's what they call a dependent population. It's supposed to be for children. Dependent population is supposed to be children, old people, people who can't work and all of that. So other people are sustaining. But an average civil servant in Nigeria of today is a dependent population. That is, they don't want to work, come to work late, close early, but then let it be promotion time. Oh, I've heard in my department many, many years. Promotion time. They see it as an entitlement. If I were government, I would privatize federal government. That is the Aso Rock. I said shares. No, you say, what's your reason? Just so that people will realize that work is supposed to produce. They just believe that. The other day, my son asked me, he said, Daddy, how does money come out of ATM? Does the ATM make money? As God will have it, when the bank, here and I, that's Victory, small one. And I just said, turn around. He turned. And there was an ATM machine that inside the banking hall, you could see the inner part. And they were loading money. So I told him, this is how money enters into the ATM machine. The boy said, eh. So you watched them. You saw the different labels, 1,000, 500, 200, 100. So different boxes. So he said, okay. Do you know an average civil servant thinks government just produces money out of nothing? So when they say they can't pay salaries, they don't understand why they can't pay salaries. After all, we own the printing press. Bring some more. The Lord is good. That's why I said, as I like private people. Private person will stand like this, say, boy, I paid this amount the last 6 months. What have I made from it? If you can't explain, he fires you. Nothing personal. It's just that the money I'm paying you is supposed to be yielding now. After I pay you, you bring in, I must have extra after your salary. What am I saying of these things? As a believer, we have to win ourselves of this civil servant dependent mentality. That is why many people, when they leave civil service, they are useless to themselves. Yes, they are just totally useless. They are not used to producing anything. But somebody who says, no, that's not, you can work for the federal government, work for the state government, but you are working and you see yourself as a blessing to them. They disturb you too much. Say, listen, if you guys don't want myself, let me go and bless somebody else with it. And I'm digressing a bit, but I advise young people all the time, you want to go for an interview, don't go unless you are sure how you can bless them. That's Christianity. Look at the company. If it looks like they are the one that will bless you, you don't need that job. Find another job. And I'm not joking. I mean it. You go for an interview, you cannot demonstrate how you'll be a blessing. Forget it. Find another job. And I'm telling you, real employers, they can feel it. They can feel it. When they are talking to you, they know who's coming, you know? There's one of our brothers once he wanted to fire somebody for not working, for not doing what he was supposed to do. You know what the joker said? He said, "Please, sir, you can't fire me now." The guy said, "Why not?" He said, "I have to pay rent at the end of the month." I'm not joking. I'm serious. So please, don't sack me now. Why can't I sack you now? I mean, you deserve to be sacked. You're not earning me money. You disobeyed my instructions. I told you don't do this, you did it. I told you do this, you didn't do it. And I've checked your stay for the last... I'm sorry, you have to go. The guy said, "Okay, sir, postpone it next month." Because my rent is due. What am I going to explain? Listen, we believers, we have to be careful that our minds work differently. That we work in such a manner that, listen, if I'm not working here, I will work somewhere else. Somebody say there's no job. Yeah, I wonder, why is there no job? Oh, of course, I know that Zen is not going to employ everybody. MTN won't. Etisalat won't. ExxonMobil will not. I know. But I can get up in the morning and go and bless somebody. I can change somebody's life. Heard the story of one young man in Lagos who, everybody say no work. The boy say, "I'm good in mathematics. How can there be no work? It's all these rich people. You know, there are areas in town, you know, there are rich people." So the boy went to where there's these rich people and said, "Look, all these children that don't know mathematics and physics, give them to me." The guy started doing home lessons, maths, physics, chemistry. He was turning children that thought mathematics was Chinese. One day, he now got a job, very good job, very one of these lucrative jobs people love, and told the parents he's resigning. They said, "Resign where?" I forgot how they solved the matter, but they didn't let him go. Because he was that good. I'm not talking about how Christians reason. Not that you're planning to get tired. You're planning to be useless. You're planning to go to the village and be causing trouble. Because you have nothing else to do. When they were paying you big salary, you were flying all over the world. Did not know that, listen, this is not about saving for the future. This is about, let me be a blessing. That's what it means to have a job. Not to have a place where money is coming regularly. No, it's how am I affecting somebody's life? Because if you think like that, the day they say, "Okay, enough working here," you go and work somewhere else. And they say there's nowhere else, and you work on your own. The days when there were no private schools, at least in Nigeria, Western Nigeria where I was, people were doing personal lessons. Some of those people doing these their afternoon lessons, evening lessons. Now, they have the biggest schools that people are begging to put their children. I have one in my mind. Now, when my mother tells me just about the man, that the man, that is, if his money doesn't know what to do with it. And it started when private schools, this was the days of UPN and all of that, when the socialists met, well, they didn't like private schools. That's when it started the thing. Just doing afternoon lessons. So if you fail WAEC, you fail, don't worry, come. So you find a small place to be using. Now, the man owns, I think, one of the biggest secondary schools in that town. I'm talking about total faith. So it's not, you know, Christians often want to just learn faith to stand and declare, "In the name of Jesus, I call Naira, come, dollar, follow him. You know, that kind of thing. Just to be declaring. No, this faith is total. Different areas. It's that totality. That's why I started by reading that Paul said, "I did not shrink from declaring to you the total purpose of God." So it's not just saying, "I won't save money for tomorrow, for retirement." Part of the faith is who told you should retire. Listen, your children will be blessed. Somebody say amen. But this is the plan of God. Akinlu, as you have been blessed, when you come, if you are going, I can still dash your own children enough money to make you envious. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm going to say. You came home, greeted me, "Daddy, good afternoon, you prosper. We brought you this gift. And you bring me, because a son honors his father." So I look at it and say, "What did you bring? Let's use today's method." "Uh-huh. This is nice." Maybe you say, "Okay, we're just thinking, just saw this nice, just a small one. Just Just the newest model 7 series BMW that maybe you may use to go out in the evening when you don't want to really use a good car. He said, oh, that's very good. That's very, very good. And I said, oh, hi, your children. Just one of them. Are you there? I go, what do I give to this boy? Just open your pocket. I say, okay, give the boy $10,000. Buy something. That's your sister. That is when you receive that gift from the boy. It's not poverty. It's just a gift of honor. A son honors his father. That's what God expects. Listen, these things will not be your portion except you believe them. Don't let the world talk you out of it. Be fighting government on retirement age. I don't know why people fight on such things. If government comes to me and says retirement age is 50, it doesn't concern me. Say, okay, it's now 25. So some people are fighting. Why can't we work till we are 79? Just be wondering. You know, there are fights that don't concern me. And I pray you should understand, it shouldn't concern you. The new Canadian Prime Minister reduced retirement age to 65. The former one had increased to 67. It was supposed to take effect in about 20 years' time, but not today. As soon as he entered office a few days ago, about a month ago, less. Yesterday, now, or 2 days ago, it changed, he says, now 65. I said, now they coil over 2 years. For them, is it macroeconomic or microeconomic calculations? How much they will pay in retirement benefits? You know, for Americans, we talk about Medicaid and Medicare and all of that. They've checked all of those things. Uh-huh. So they are calling over whether you should retire at 65 or retire at 67. You know, ASU, that's Nigerian universities. If your professor should retire at 70, you know, we see the fight. You know why that fight is? I'll tell you the truth. Men don't want to work. Look, let's be honest. Have you ever seen Wole Soyinka argue on the retirement age? Till now, everywhere the man opens his mouth to talk. I don't think you pay him less than $10,000 and he talks for an hour. He celebrated 80th birthday a few days ago, right? You'll be surprised, the man is old now, he's about 80. Why don't you even open your eyes and see things like that instead of fighting and say, as a university professor, I have the right to retire at 70. No, the government says 65. They say, no, it's 72. They tell you retire at 70 or 65, no problem. At 65, sit down at home and start writing books. I mean, not even like, that's not when you start making the plan. All your life, you've been doing things. People are calling you to go all over the place. It's not just about let me believe God. Pastor Bang said, I don't have to lay up money for tomorrow. And I said it, yes, that's what Jesus said. I'm not the one that said it. But then, faith is what? Total. God has a system he expects us to operate in. The reason why faith has been weak is that we have cannibalized it, broken it to pieces. Many of it does not work anymore. That's why I said we should open a particular scripture, just to show that we must be careful, don't touch that scripture. I was trying to explain. Psalm 107, I want to make a point. All right, remember I've been trying to explain something. If you take away from God's word in an area, you are taking away from your path. In fact, let's read that quickly before we read this. Quickly open to the book of Revelations, chapter 22, the last chapter. Let's go down to verse 18. He said, I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. Now, this is the testimony. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues which are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city, which are written in this book. I just read two verses here to bring out a particular spiritual principle about how we must relate with God's word. Remember what he's saying here? He was speaking specifically about the prophetic words that are written in the book of Revelations. But I want us to understand that this is a spiritual principle. And that's how the word of God is. John was saying that when God gives a word, if you remove from it, if you add to it, you are adding trouble to yourself. If you remove from it, There is something, are you getting my point? That God has kept as a spiritual substance, which is your part. You see, Paul wrote to the, he spoke to that to the Ephesians in that chapter 20 of the book of Acts we're reading just a while ago. He said that, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. He said that word is able to build you up and give you your own inheritance amongst those that are sanctified. That is, each person has his own inheritance. Each person has her own portion. Each person has something that your name is written, all right, on, that's supposed to come to you. But you may not be able to receive it if you are not built up to receive it. But John was saying here, many things that are yours, God cannot give them to you if you take away from his word. You are getting the point I'm making? If you take from the scripture, there are things that are yours you will not be able to receive. That is just the way it works. Now, please bear that in mind. And that's why I say to Christians, now remember, we're talking about faith. Faith is a spiritual ability. Faith is something, it's a spiritual substance. It is not in you, yourself, to believe. It is God that gives you the ability. So the ability to believe God for a great thing will be missing in your life if you deny some scriptures. I don't know whether you're getting my point. If God did not say something and you added it there, and you call it the word of God, there is trouble that will follow you. That's usually for preachers anyway, you know. Church members know they add to God's word. They hardly do. Christians hardly do. It's preachers that start promising what God did not promise. Start saying things that they know God did not say. Because if people believe them, it will bring more offerings. Go and tell every preacher. John said, you're begging for trouble. There was a prophet, Hananiah by name, who said in 2 years God will deliver these people. Jeremiah said God didn't say so. God said 70 years. Hananiah said, well, I'm a senior prophet, you're a junior prophet. God said 2 years. Jeremiah said, all right, fine, no problem. May it be 2 years. As soon as Jeremiah left, God said, come, Jeremiah, go and tell Hananiah something for me. Hananiah, Jeremiah went to Hananiah and said, thus says the Lord, you have made the people believe in a lie. For that reason, this year, you will die. 2 months later, he died. We don't add to the word of God. We are not supposed to. Now, but like I said, that's what preachers do. Those who take from the word of God is everybody. They remove. Preachers hardly remove from it. It's the church members that remove from God's word. They are the ones that will tell you that this one is not now. This is modern day. This modern days, you can't say such things. That's what they tell you. When they say, wives, be subject to your own husband. They say, no, these days there are women that have PhDs. Can you see? Ability starts living their lives. I saw somebody speaking on TV. If it is now that Paul is writing about in Romans chapter 1, that he wouldn't write that thing that he said about homosexuality. I saw it on TV. There are bishops that resigned because they don't agree with what Paul said. There's one bishop, no, that guy, forget, bishop in a title. That man is not a Christian. Let me not even go near there. Church people like to remove from God's word. And when they remove from it, they remove their ability to believe. They remove their ability to receive their own inheritance. They remove their ability. How are they removing it? By just taking the scripture and reasoning it away because they don't like it. I've said it before. How do you handle that? Some things are hard. John said, God said to John, take this book, eat it, it's sweet in your mouth. When it gets to your stomach, it will be bitter. That is when you hear some scripture is hard to do. That's what he was saying. So nobody is saying that some things may not be hard. When they say love your enemies, I think that's one of the most difficult scriptures in the Bible. If you think it is easy, you don't have enemies yet. You know, you have not identified them. You think you have this enemy, no modern day enemy, they don't want me to progress. Holy Ghost fire upon them. Now that kind of enemy will you get. When you have real, you know what I mean, real enemy. The man said, listen, in this office, I light a line. I will make sure you are frustrated. And God now says, love him. He said, God, I will love his dead body, but leave him. I will give him a decent burial. But love the man himself, it's a bad idea. And when Jesus was saying it, those guys were being oppressed by Roman soldiers. That is why we start reasoning away the scripture. heard a woman once speaking. My wife had to keep quiet because she was like a woman of God. She was talking. My wife came home and said, "Please, I have a question." He said that if you look at Sarah, Sarah was not a strong woman. Sarah was weak. Sarah was this. But then she was dumb. My wife was confused. You know this kind of thing, like telling you, say that in Genesis chapter 1, and God created the heavens and the earth. He said God didn't really create. He actually said that he allowed the ozone layer to form, and there was, and you're like, please, It was that kind of argument. So my wife was confounded, like, what's going on here? She now came home and told me. I said, I know the woman. I said, leave her. I told her a few other things. I said, leave that girl. And once he went for a meeting, women, I love you, but 75% of people here are men, so I can say what I want to say. And there will be no people on my side to defend me. Surely when women gather, I'm always suspicious. He said, why? Pastor Mike, he said, no, wait. There are scriptures that show that, listen, very careful at such times. David Paulson said that he mentioned the number of major cults in America. He said they were started by women. Christian Science, one of them. Is it Mary Eddie Baker? Yes. When the girls gather and start, confusing themselves like that, it's very terrible. Usually when men gather like that, they can't confuse, they fight. Everything will just, scatter. So there's no hope. Scatter everything and go home. But women can gather and be deceiving themselves. And they still remain there. Men lie. Either it is correct or they struggle. Because there's no emotion there, they put up their hand. Please, Apostle Kimothy, that thing you said, please, I don't understand. One day, Miles Monroe was explaining the difference between a man and a woman. He said that you go to a church, you see a preacher preaching, say, "The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I said, the Lord is my shepherd." He said, the woman will be shouting, "Whoo, whoo, whoo." He said, the man will be counting, "The Lord is my shepherd." Wow. He said, he has said that thing 5 times. Because he's trying to get the point. You said the first time, we heard you. Second time, we heard you. Third time, we heard you. Can't you say something else? Miles Monroe said, "But you see the woman, they will be shouting, whoo, whoo, ha, ha, ha. The Lord is his shepherd. Hallelujah." He said, "But the man are counting." That's how God, we're just different people. Now, what I'm saying so is that one day my wife went for another meeting like that. Women gathered and one woman was talking. And she was deceiving everybody. Talking about how to use wisdom to run your house. How she used wisdom when she found out that her husband was spending money the way she didn't like. She used wisdom. She didn't fight though, she just used wisdom. What was the wisdom? She went and told the man that their office said they should bring new bank accounts for their salaries. So she withdrew the money from where it was going before and went to another salary account where she could control. She said it's wisdom. She went through about 3 or 4 types of wisdom like that. My wife was looking at this woman, okay. She came and told me. I said, well, at least thank God you have sense, amen, and you have somebody to ask questions. Otherwise, this is how they will have removed your part in the book. That's where I'm going all of these stories. Once you start shaving away from God's word, it is not just the letters you are shaving away from. You are shaving away your own ability to inherit your own portion of divine blessings. Psalm 127, as an illustration, so we can begin to close. Psalm 127. Remember the point I'm making? Is that faith is total. There's an all. There are many, like Paul said, I did not shrink from declaring to you the entire purpose of God. And I'm explaining that we must be careful to follow the entire purpose. I want to read from verse 3. Now, we know verses 1 and 2. I don't want to talk about that now. When it says, vain to rise up early and all of that. But I want to bring out an illustration of how we take away from God's word and we thereby remove something, things from our lives, spiritual blessings, the ability to believe and stuff like that. We lose them. From verse 3, it said, "Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth." He said, "How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them." He said, "They will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate." Now, let me just leave it there. Because if you continue reading in the next verse, chapter 128, he said, "How blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you shall eat of the fruit of your hands, you will be happy and it will be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine within your house, your children like olive trees around your table." He said, "Behold, for thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord." Let me just stop here. It's actually that 127 I want to use to illustrate the point I'm making. Now, the word of God is clear concerning this. Very clear. But talk to 9 out of 10 Christians. This is how they read it. Children are a burden from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is extra load to carry. I don't know what the warrior is supposed to do with them. I don't understand. That's how they read it. He said, "Blessed is the man who has a small quiver so he can fill up quickly." That is how we read the scripture. That's how we read it. You tell a man, "How many children do you plan to have?" "A couple." They say, "2. Say, "Why?" He said, "The Bible says it's blessed to have a quiver full." They say, "It depends on the size of your quiver." That is a lie of the devil. I like to say it like that so that we will know how to relate with the word of God. How do you know the size of your quiver? You that told me you want to have 2 children. How do you know? I might say you have 8 children. Well, that wouldn't be a bad idea, but that's not what I'm talking about. I don't think it's a bad idea. Really, I don't think so. But what I'm trying to explain is just to bring to our attention the way we creep into worldliness and think we are modern people. That's what I'm trying to bring out. And what I actually think is modern is up to date. When you hear statements, when you see people say that, "Why can't you want to have children?" If you see someone say, "Okay, I would like to have 5 children or 6 or 7. You say, "What? What do you want to do with them? Do they sell them?" Again, that's a very stupid statement. The person talking has a wardrobe full of suits. You are not selling them. The fellow talking, most of these women that say, "Do you want to sell them?" Go and check her shoes. Her shoes can educate a child. She has not sold them. Okay. Let's not talk about the wig. Brazilian, Peruvian, which other one? Mongolian. They are there. She's not selling them. But only these children. Do you want to sell them? I have the word of God for you today. No, I want to love them. I want to walk with God to reproduce the nature of Christ in them. It's a nice assignment. I'm talking about the way we reason. The word teaches us a system. And we start, I want you to quote this scripture for people. But the Bible says, it said, it depends on the size of your quiver. I said, again, that's a very, I'm very sorry. But let's say it so that we will know what we're saying. It's a very stupid statement to make. Because the Bible makes it clear that here, the Lord is talking about abundance. A quiver there is talking about having many arrows in the time of battle. If you were supposed to have a small quiver, you should have gone to God to beg him, say, "Oh God, please, Lord, can you expand my quiver? Can you give me more money? Can you give me a bigger house? Can you bless me abundantly like you bless Jabez? Expand my quiver." Not that demon say my quiver is small. It's called poverty mentality and selfishness. Your quiver is not small. Your problem is that, like one of my colleagues said to me once, he said, "You know, if there are plenty, you can't take them abroad." Because, do you understand? I don't know why people talk so stupidly. First time I went abroad in my life, it was from Enugu here. And you are still, all of you have left what you are doing to listen to me this night. And thousands and hundreds of thousands will listen to this. even though I never went abroad until I was an adult. There is nothing my children want to see they will not see on National Geographic. If I paid DSTV for a few months, I told them one day Akiolu was very small that time. Victory was smaller. So I saw one of these ungulates, on these animals they call ungulates, antelopes, all those kind of things. So I saw one. I said, if I start teaching this boy the different ones now, I'll confuse. They all look alike. So I said, it's an antelope. Akinlu, I don't think it was up to five or more than five that time. He said, no, daddy, this is not an antelope. This is a wildebeest. An antelope, he began to show me the difference between the two. Oh, now I zip my mouth. Just by watching National Geographic Wild. Nat Geo Wild was what he watched. Till now, if I'm in the house, I don't know the difference between a dolphin, a porpoise, and what's the other one that looks like them? There are about three of them. They look very much alike. Huh? I don't know that one. That's another one. Okay, that's a fourth one. There's a third one. I don't know that one. What do you call it? Orca. But there's a dolphin, there's a porpoise, there is other one. Anyway, if I get to the house and I see it on TV and I say, oh, that's a dolphin. No, one of them will tell me, no, that's not a dolphin. Especially Akinlu will tell you that the dolphin's mouth is like this. And they will show, where did they watch it? Nat Geo Wild. They haven't gone anywhere. These days of internet, there's nothing my children want to see. They can't see in my house. One day my wife said she wanted to travel, that whether she can take, is it Akinlu or somebody going to the U.S.? I said, Akinlu, let's have a deal, let's discuss. I said, Akinlu, make a choice. You follow your mother to America, or I buy you PS3 games and two or three trips to the mall. Ah, Omo. The boy looked and said, daddy, I take the PS3. The mother was like, you're not smart. The boy told the mother, said, mommy, America will always be there. We'll go another time. Forget this. I was trying to show, I said, look, I can use my money better. He said, at the end of 3 weeks, ticket money gone. Now, why am I saying all of these things? You know, we take the word of God sometimes and just reason it away. Start telling you things like, you're able to give them the best, be best what? The best holidays. You know, this holiday thing, you know, I never heard about it in my life, until I grew up and began to work and started meeting people like you. Until that time, the only holiday I know, we say, we're there for a carré, school closed, we go over, back there, 45 kilometers away. This one of holiday. And we were excited to do it. Because back at home in the car, you knew everywhere. Oh God, our house now, all right, is close to a school. And not these modern day private schools. These were original schools, government schools, you know, mission schools, of which the football field, Oh my God. The football field, hey! So that we're always looking forward to it. You know, you see cousins and all of that. You wake up in the morning, you cross to that. Look, on this side, cashew tape trees. On this side, mango trees. On this side, orange trees. And the football field the size of Wembley Stadium. That is holiday. People will not dress children. These children are suffering these days, though. They dress them and carry them to Dubai. These children are suffering. Carry them and say, go to Switzerland. Go wire your ear. You go, they wear more, what do you call that thing? Cover your head. Those days, who they wear waiting? If your father wanted to bless you, bought you Wembley. You remember Wembley 5? I remember those days we used to tell the other boys, it's broke and pay. If you bust my ball. And people are making it look like I didn't enjoy life because you carry your children to America. So the man said, and these children can't do anything more than just, when they go to America and play, what they call Nintendo. Look at the mall, say that, where did they go again? And you think they're enjoying. Come and grow up when I grew up. Now it'd be enjoyment. take off from what? You don't chase goats before? Hey! These guys never chase goats. And they say they are going on holiday. These boys never chase goats. And they are going on holiday. All these modern day children, they can't trap mouse. We trapped mouse and ate it. Look, in case you think I had your butter, I'm not jenny, you know. Now, when I marry this girl, my life is spoiled like this. Because before that time. Honestly, my wife was cooking with sausage. Who are kidding you? Why should people cook with sausage? Who was when I married? But look, I'm not fine. Don't deceive yourself that your children need to go abroad so that their life go better. Listen, I know this life is just upside down. Those ones, they are coming to Kenya to see animal. The Lord is good. Listen, what am I trying to say? Forget all of these things. All these fun things inside your heart. If you decide you want to enjoy life, don't think your kid, because they are playing PS3, PS4, it means they are smarter than the children who are there on the road, dribbling themselves all up and down. It's true. I'm talking about the scripture. I'm not saying obeying the word of God is always easy. But like I say all the time, don't reason it away. Don't reason it away. Don't let modern people persuade you that one scripture is not true. Because when they take away from the scripture, they remove from your ability to do other things. Many people have taken away from scripture, and God said that is the reason why they will never be rich in life. They will struggle until their children grow. They will be struggling. Struggling. And they say, I'm praying, I'm fasting, I'm sowing seed. God said, you took away from scriptures. There are children you will have. I'm not joking about that. Angels will enter your house. Because he's a special child. But God says, what can I do for him? What can I do for her? I can't. Why? They took the scripture and closed it up. Wrote it wrongly. Twisted the thing upside down. I'm talking about, you know, I was explaining that God has a whole system. Some of the problems of this life, go abroad. You know, God did not expect, you know, this one of motherless baby's home. I hope you know it's not the will of God. Old people's home is not the will of God. All these systems that developed when people rejected the total counsel of God. Why should there be motherless babies' homes? Don't you have a home? Don't I have a home? Why should there be orphanages? There are enough of us to spread the children everywhere. Why are there old people's homes? Those old people, don't they have children? Some of them raise the children to think only of themselves. So they think, mama staying with us is a problem. And then, mama, when she was young, felt that having two children is too much. Let's manage one. And that one alone is not enough arrow to speak against her problems when she's old. See why we're having problems? Some of these we see abroad and admire, they are bad things. There are systems. You know, the other day, my friend in the U.S., we were talking. He told me that, listen, that he wants to start coming back home regularly. He's tired of the system. Why? He said it's too impersonal. I was telling him that, you know, abroad, people plan their own funeral. Yeah. You buy insurance for when you will die. So that they will see caskets to bury you, and see space to put your dead body. And in case you want to be cremated, they will be able to pay the crematorium. A man alive is paying that money. You should know that all of you have sinned. There is a problem. A society where a man has to plan his own funeral. Get my point? And pay. Down here, no matter how poor we are, we bury our dead. Nobody here is afraid I won't get a decent burial. I have brothers. I have sisters. I have friends. I have church. God bless you, man of God. Church people, we gather. Church people, we gather. They will gather and say, "This, what are you talking about?" I'll tell them my colleague that my friend, one of my colleagues, died in the hospital. I said, "That one is 2 million naira for the family. Nobody's asking my opinion. Why? From our salaries, it's in our code. 10,000 naira, and we're about 200 consultants. You are not asking me. Do you agree? And I'm not complaining. That's God's system. It doesn't cross my mind that if I were to die today, what will happen to my children? Nobody thinks about these things. That is God's system. He expects us to be members of families. That's God's system. That is God's system. But we admire some crazy people who denied God, and we said they have a good structure. You buy your own graveyard. One of the reasons why God does not expect us to worry is that he has a total system that actually does not allow us to worry. But we take it, we cut it, we dice it, we, you know, slice it, we do anything we like, then we start praying, "In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus." God said, "Hey, how am I supposed to solve this problem when I gave you a system to use ahead of time and you've thrown it away?" I hope you're getting my point. What's my emphasis? We're talking about total faith for finances. We have to believe God totally. We don't reason away the scripture. Many of the people we are copying, they are currently suffering the repercussions for reasoning away the Bible. When they glorified having one child, when they finished glorifying, why? They wanted to enjoy life. Prosperity has a problem. You know, there's a problem with everything has a problem in life. Prosperity has its own problem. People now become so concerned with enjoying the prosperity. If they didn't have money to be flying all over the world, would they care whether they have children to carry with them? So the young woman wanted to enjoy their lives, enjoy their careers to the limit. Suddenly they rewrote Psalm 127 and said, "Children are a burden from the Lord." When the Bible said they are a blessing. But we don't realize that over time, the whole society starts suffering the consequences. And people who are not taught with God's word, they admire those people because the consequences are far removed. Let us follow God totally. His counsel is good. The Lord is good. Let's not take too much time today. Let's bow down our heads and give the Lord thanks. Let's say, "Lord, thank you." Let us say, "Lord, thank you." Let's say, "Lord, thank you. Thank you for your word that has blessed us abundantly. I bless your children who have taken the time out to come and fellowship one another and study your word. The Lord bless you in the name of Jesus."
Amen.
Peace we go with you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
That peace will drive away every affliction, every trouble, every affliction, every iniquity, everything out of your system in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That peace will open the doors of God for you and cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Good will be with you.
Amen.
God's good will be with you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Evil is repelled out of your life.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
As you go on the road, you will be safe.
Amen.
Let me say to you again, no evil shall befall you.
Amen.
No plague will come near your dwelling place.
Amen.
The angels of heaven, they are with you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And they will deliver you from all troubles.
Amen.
I say to you, like the Lord said to them, "Be of good cheer, because in Christ you have overcome the world."
Amen.
I command you today, rejoice.
Amen.